Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
It's always a privilege to bring the Word of God. And, I was told we've been doing a series on love, and it was just coming to a close. And so Pastor just said, just do what's on your heart. And so I've been studying about the kingdom of God. And the title of the message is, We're Just Passing Through with a Job to Do. We're just passing through with a job to do. And our verse is Matthew 6, 33 and 34. It says, Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Can I get an amen? You know, we say this verse all the time. People say it's their favorite verse. And yet, I don't think that we've really thought about the verse the way we should be thinking about the verse. Okay? My first point is get kingdom-minded. I know we're not kingdom-minded because the second part of the verse said, don't worry about tomorrow. And we worry, don't we? Ladies, be truthful. I know I'm not the only one. We worry whether we're going to have food to put on our tables and whether we're going to have a roof over our heads. We worry about our jobs, whether we're going to get promotions, whether we're going to have a job, if we have job security. We worry about sickness and disease. We worry about our loved ones. Are they going to go to heaven? Are they going to turn their lives around? And then we worry about worrying. We're like, oh, I'm worrying too much. Now I could get high blood pressure. I could have a heart attack. I can have a stroke. So we worry, and then we worry about worrying. So we're not kingdom-minded. Amen? You know, we set ourselves up for worry by doing things like having an all-or-nothing attitude. And I know I'm not the only one that's done this, where you say you're on a diet, and then you can't resist a cookie. And then you're like, well, I've blown it now, so I might as well just eat for the rest of the day. No, you didn't blow it. You had a cookie, okay? But this kind of setup makes you worry, like, I'll never lose weight. I can never lose weight. I'll always be fat, okay? Or overgeneralization, like, she didn't speak to me when I spoke to her, so she's probably mad at me. Probably all of them are mad at me. I'll probably never be invited to anything. Just taking one little negative and making it like your entire life to worry about, right? Or the expect the worst scenarios, where you're on a plane and the pilot says, oh, we're facing a little bit of turbulence, and you're like, oh my God, we're gonna crash. Okay? We exaggerate, we generalize, we make ourselves worry with these tactics. So I have a little joke. It says, a father passing by his son's bedroom was astonished to see the bed was nicely made and everything was picked up. Then he saw an envelope propped up prominently on the pillow. It was addressed Dad. With the worst premonition, he's worrying, he opened the envelope and read the letter with trembling hands. Dear Dad, it is with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with Mom and you. I've been finding real passion with Stacy. She is so nice, but I knew you would not approve of her because of her piercings, tattoos, and her tight motorcycle clothes, and because she's so much older than I am. But it's not only the passion, Dad. She's pregnant. Stacy said that we will be very happy, and she owns a trailer in the woods. She has a stack of firewood for the whole winter, and we share a dream of having many more children. Stacy has opened my eyes to the fact that marijuana doesn't really hurt anyone. We'll be growing it for ourselves and trading it with the other people in the commune for all the cocaine and ecstasy that we want. In the meantime, we'll pray that science will find a cure for AIDS so that Stacy can get better. She sure deserves it. Don't worry, Dad. I'm 15, and I know how to take care of myself. And someday, I'm sure we'll be back to visit you so you can get to know your many grandchildren. Love, your son, Joshua. And P.S., Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at Jason's house, and I just wanted to remind you that there are worse things in life than the school report that's on the kitchen table. Call when it's safe for me to come home. I thought that was so cute, because these are all the things that we worry about, and we make a big deal in majoring over the minors when in reality it was the report card, right? So how do we get kingdom-minded? The first thing you have to do is start listening to the truth of the Word of God in everything, okay? We need to study the Word, we need to learn the Word, we need to speak the Word, and we need to understand the importance of the Word of God, because the Word of God is alive. It changes lives. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's God-breathed. You say, oh, it was written by men, but they were inspired by God to write the words that God wants to speak to us. Amen? It's a lamp. It guides us, tells us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what path to take. So we need to understand how important the Word of God is, because without it, we're not equipped to do God's good work. And without the Word, we also forget who we are. And I think that's the problem that we have today, is that we've forgotten who we are. We're not kingdom-minded. The world puts labels on us about our outer appearance, but God looks at our heart. And we listen to the labels and we think that's who we are. How many people have seen The Lion King? You know, with kids, I have 5 kids, I got 4 grandkids, and I've watched The Lion King too many times to, I can probably just say the script, okay? But I didn't know that The Lion King was based on a true story. There's the Lion of Mali, the King of Mali, his name is, now I might be totally screwing this up, but Sundiata Keita. Okay, he was the founder of Mali, and that's in West Africa. And he was born crippled, but through perseverance and his own determination, he taught himself to walk. Now, he had a brother, a half-brother named Tormund, and Tormund wanted the throne when Sundiata was supposed to have the throne. And then their father, the king, mysteriously dies, and Sundiata fears for his life, takes his mom and all his kids, and they go into exile, into hiding from their brother. And he lives there happily, forgetting his responsibility for years, until someone comes and tells them that Tormund is cruel and an oppressive king, and they need him to return. And at that time, he changes his name to Mansa. He forms alliances with different people, and they overthrow his brother. And that's where the story of The Lion King really began. It's a true story. I thought that was interesting. But in the movie, there's a special line, and it says, Simba, you have forgotten me. You have forgotten who you are, and so forgotten me. You are more than what you have become. Remember who you are. Now, Simba was in the jungle with a meerkat and a warthog, and he's just singing, it means no worries for the rest of your days. It's our problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata, right? So he'd forgotten who he was until he was reminded that there's problems and you have to assume your responsibility and come back and relieve us from this oppression. And so with that line from The Lion King, I think that we have to remember, too, that we have responsibilities. God says that each one of us has been given gifts to serve others. And we, too, have forgotten that we are royalty. Amen? You may not feel like royalty every day, but we are. And we get caught up in worldliness, hearing what the world tells us, seeing what the world is saying about us, and we try to get this Hakuna Matata attitude where there's no worries, I don't have to get involved in this, I don't have to get involved in this, I don't have to use the gift that God has given me to be a blessing to anyone, I can just live my life carefree with this Hakuna Matata attitude, and that's wrong. So God is saying to us today, have you forgotten your king? Have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten who you are? Children of the Most High God, you are more than what you have become. Remember who you are. So just because you're born into kingship, like this guy was, doesn't mean that getting to the throne and staying on the throne is easy. He had to learn how to walk. He had to be determined. And he had to form alliances and he had to fight to assume his rightful place as heir. Okay? And you know that we have an enemy. And even though we are heirs of God, even though we are royalty, we must always stand. And having done all to stand, continue to stand. We must always put on the whole armor of God to fight against that enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But that doesn't change the fact that you're royal. Amen? We are adopted, and so no one has to validate us and tell us who we are, and yet that's what the world tells us to do. Jesus has already validated us. And he said, you are children of the King. You are heirs of my throne. I have a kingdom waiting for you in heaven where you're going to join me, right? And adopted children get just as much love as biological children. I can attest to that. Adopted children are provided for just as much as your biological children, and adopted children get an equal part of the inheritance. So we are royalty. And we don't understand kingship so much today because we live in a democracy. We are in a battle with an election. Amen? And democracy is great because we all have a say-so about who is going to be president. But we don't really understand living in a democracy what having a king means. And back in the day, the kings would rule, they would reign, they would make laws, and the subjects of the kingdom would have to follow the king's rules. Okay? And the kings would expand their territories. And this was really interesting because I teach, one of the sessions I teach is on marriage. And everyone, when they come to marital counseling, they're always like, you know, I don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. And I remind them, you know, that back in the day, love didn't have anything to do with it, that the song was wrong. You know, the song says, what's love got to do with it? Back in the days when there were kings, love had absolutely nothing to do with it. It's like if I owned Southern California and I was king or queen of Southern California and you own Northern California, I would marry my daughter to your son so we could own California. It was all about territory, expanding your territory, and it was a political thing, and love had absolutely nothing to do with it. But we need to think of another marriage, and that is that we are the bride of Christ. And love has a lot to do with it because he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. Amen? And eventually, we are going to have a wonderful marriage and be with Jesus, our groom. Amen? So we need to think about, it's hard to think about having a king when we don't really understand it, but he's eternal. And his desire was to expand the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, to earth. He teaches us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, where? As it is in heaven. So he wanted to expand his territory, so he creates man, right? He creates man, Adam, and Adam from the dust of the earth so that he could rule, so that he could have dominion. And Adam screwed up, but let's read Genesis 1, 27 and 28. And it reads, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we had authority. We had authority. Subdue means take control. Take control over the earth, and you get dominion over anything in the sea, anything in the air, and anything that moves on the earth. That's pretty much everything. That was the authority that God gave to us as he's bringing his kingdom to earth. And Adam listened to Eve and ate of the fruit, and all that was taken away. The authority, the dominion was taken away. But God had a plan. And there was a prophecy in Daniel, and it says in verse 7, verse 14, Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is in an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So Daniel had a prophecy about Jesus, a kingdom that would never be destroyed. Adam didn't have an earthly father. He had a heavenly father formed from the dust of the earth. Jesus didn't have an earthly father, right? So Adam was the first man. Jesus was the second Adam. And he was the one that was sinless for 33 years and didn't screw up. And so he was able with his death, his resurrection, to give us back the authority, to give us back dominion here on earth, but we're not using it. Jesus gave us everything to rule and reign here, but we're not using it. Jesus was born king. In Matthew 2, it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Jesus was sent to reconcile us back to God, to pay the debt for our sin once and for all. We used to, in the garden, be able to talk to God whenever we wanted to. And because of Jesus, now we can talk to God whenever we want to. We don't need a mediator. We don't need to set up a meeting. We don't have to wait and hear what the man of God says, because we have relationship with him again because of Jesus. Amen? He was that perfect sacrifice. We don't have to sacrifice any more animals. He did it all. He paid the price. And it was all to give dominion back to us so that we can do on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? So look at what we've forgotten is 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Yes, Satan is the ruler of this world. Yes, he is the god of this world. But if he's given us authority, we have authority even over him, but we're not using it. If you don't know, you don't use it, right? And that's why this message has been speaking to my heart, because I feel like the women of God need to know who they are and take their rightful place. Take their rightful place. So the first thing we have to do is we have to get kingdom-minded. The second thing we have to do is understand that this is not our home. We're here, but our home is up there. You're an adopted daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but we don't live like we're royalty. The world tells us we're poor, or that we're ugly, or that we're homeless, or addicted, or whatever, and we believe that label, but that's where we're at right now at this time. It's not who we are. You're still a king's kid. You're still royalty, regardless of the circumstances you find yourself in right now. And the only way you're going to get out of those circumstances is realizing who you actually are and that this is not your home, okay? We have to refuse, under all circumstances, to accept anything that's contrary to the Word of God. If it doesn't say it in the Word about you, then it's not true. It doesn't matter what man has said. And if we listen to that, we're just listening to Satan. He's the author of lies, and he cannot tell the truth. So if he's speaking to you something, you know it's a lie, because he cannot tell the truth. We have to transform our minds, but we are not guarding our eye gate and our ear gate. We're looking at things on TV. We're listening to people. We're reading things that we shouldn't be reading. We're around people that we shouldn't be around, and we're hearing the wrong thing, we're seeing the wrong thing, and so we're not able to transform our minds based on the Word of God where the life is. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us through the Holy Spirit. The minute we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, but we are living powerless. And we're not living like we're citizens of heaven. We're living like this is our home. So that's why I named this message. I forgot what I named on the message. What's the name of this? This is not our home. We're just passing through with a job to do. That was just a brain fog, sorry. So the way that helped me to think about this is like when you travel and you go to a hotel. I like to live out of my suitcase. I never unpack the drawers or anything because it's just temporary. That's not my home. I'm staying there for a day or two, a week, but I'm not going to be staying, so I'm not going to hang everything in the closet and do everything unless it's a super long stay or something, right? Or, as far as being a queen, I think of my house. And so I have the furniture arranged in my house the way I want it to be arranged. I painted my walls the way I want them to be painted. And, you know, I do in my house what I want to do. So if you're visiting me, you can't really say, like, you know, "I think you should put the couch over there," because I'm the queen of this castle, right? you can't really say, I think you should have painted your walls green. It's like, well, you know, I take your opinion, but I'm the queen of this castle. But the problem arises is because I have teenagers. I've had a lot of teenagers, and they are in rebellion sometimes with the castle that I am the queen of. And they want to make their own rules and do their own thing, and they don't want to abide by the rules. And sometimes I cannot wait until they're 18 and they leave. And in your castle, you do what you want. But in this castle, these are the rules. You know, we're going to go to church. We're going to make our beds. You can keep your I hate doors closed. I'm like, open the door, let some light in the room, clean the room if it's dirty, but you can't close the door and hide all the dirt. Okay, so that's my own little pet peeve. But the point is, you can't come into someone's kingdom with your own mindset and your own rules. And so if we're calling ourselves children of the king, and we're not from this world, but we're in this world, but our actual home is somewhere else, then we have to abide by the rules of our king. Right? And when we're influenced too much by the world, we're in rebellion. Okay? I teach a class in the Bible college called Christian Worldview. And it's a necessary class because the world has so changed Christians' ideas that we need to learn what God says about the things that are happening in our society. So we cover topics like homosexuality and marriage. Now, you know that the world has changed the idea of marriage. And now marriage can just be between any two people that want to get married, according to our society. And is that a Christian worldview or is that the world's worldview? That's not bringing the kingdom of God in here, right? And we need to bring the kingdom of God into this subject, so we teach this class. And our viewpoint from God says Romans 1, 26 and 27, that is why God abandoned them to shameful desires. Excuse me. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Okay, so the world tells us it's okay, yet the Word of God tells us it's not. And it's up to us to bring that Christian worldview into the society. We have a culture here that we, as citizens of the kingdom of God, have to use our authority from our Heavenly Father to change the culture, to bring God back into the picture, to stand on the truth regardless of whether we are popular. And as we try to be popular, a lot of times we stray away from God. I mean, the truth is the truth. The Bible hasn't changed at all. The truth remains the truth, but the ideas in our society and the people in our society have tried to change the Word of God so that it conforms to the times that we're living in. The Word of God remains the same, and you cannot buy into this mindset that, yeah, that's old-fashioned, and let's just let that slide. That's not our job. All right, so the first thing we have to do is get kingdom-minded. Because we have to change ideas. You know, we cover things like abortion in this class as well. And the idea about abortion just astonishes me today that, you know, it's my body and it's my choice. And up until 40 weeks, I can kill this baby. When we know that life begins at conception. You know, and we need to stand on the Word of God that says in Psalm 139, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So we have to make sure the world knows, as we are bringing heaven to earth, the world knows the truth. That's our job. He said, go into all the lands and make disciples, right? That's our job. What exactly is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God's will, God's way, with no rebellion, no disobedience, just recognition of His divine authority and His divine power in everything that we do. It's a kingdom where there is absolutely no area of life where His viewpoint isn't brought into your life. None. And that's why it's so important. So get kingdom-minded, understand that this isn't home, and we have to prioritize. Our verse said, seek ye first. So God's made it a priority to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is that a priority for you? I think our priorities are out of order. John Calvin, and I love this quote, he says, it is the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom visible. We do that by living in such a way that we bear witness to the reality of the kingship of Christ in our jobs, our families, our schools, and even our checkbooks. Because God in Christ is king over every one of these spheres of life. The only way the kingdom of God is going to manifest in this world before Christ comes is if we manifest it by the way we live as citizens of heaven and subjects of the king. So we need to influence the culture of the place we are currently living in, even though we're in this world and we're not of this world. John 17:15 says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, any more than I am. So we live in a world that we don't belong. The minute we accept Jesus, we step out of the kingdom of darkness and we step into the kingdom of light. And we have to get king-minded. So, you know, when there's a king, the rules of that country are influenced by the king. The people of that country speak the king's language. You know, the French people colonized Haiti. And so if you ever traveled to Haiti, they are speaking French. And the Spanish people colonized Cuba. So if you've ever been to Cuba, they speak Spanish. And the English colonized the Bahamas. So if you've been to the Bahamas, the Haitians speak English, okay? And they drive on the same side of the road that their king does, right? We need to speak the language of our king. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude 1:20 says, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. And Romans says that the Spirit is what's going to help us in our weakness and intercede for us and pray the will of God. So you guys know my son, Jared. I'm going to use this as an example of being in a world and surviving where we don't belong. So Jared's a daredevil. Okay, he's done everything from jumping out of airplanes. I just pray. He keeps me on my knees. He's calmed down now that he has kids, but, ooh, Lord. Okay, so he wanted to be a scuba person, diver. and he wanted to do all this scuba diving and all this stuff when he was in college. And he went through and he got his certificate and everything. But the point is, it's just the reason it's scary because he was going underwater in the sea in a world that he didn't belong. Okay? When we go into a place where it's not home and we don't belong, we have to bring something from our home with us. And he would have to have all this scuba gear and he needed an oxygen tank to survive under the water. Okay? And we're in this place that we don't belong, and we cannot survive and be successful without bringing something from the kingdom of God, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that's in us gives us the power to live this life victoriously. The Holy Spirit that's in us will pray when we don't know how to pray and intercede for us when we don't know what to say with groans and moans. The Holy Spirit that's in us will give us discernment about which direction to take. The Holy Spirit will guide our paths. Amen. So even though this is not our world, we have what it takes to survive as long as we make it a priority. And sometimes our priorities are out of whack. Let's look at the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10:38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her." You know, Mary remained focused on what was important. She didn't allow herself to get caught up in the dinner preparations or cleaning the house or everything that Martha was fussing over. She sat at Jesus' feet. She knew she wouldn't have long with him, but she had the Savior in her house, and she took that time to glean from his words. And a lot of times we go to pray, and we're distracted by the phone. We'll get a text. As soon as you start to pray, the devil will come in and say, "Oh, you should have taken that out the refrigerator for dinner. Oh, you need to, let's just do the dishes so you can concentrate on prayer." And you never get to it, right? You get distracted because our priorities get out of whack. And we sit in church, we hear a message, and we're trying to focus on the message, and we'll start thinking about what we have to cook for dinner or where we're going to go eat afterwards. We have to remain focused so that that word of God that changes us, that pierces us through the, you know, the bones, it pierces and divides, you know, and it changes our hearts. We have to stay focused. Oswald Chambers says a quote that I love, and I think that you may be have priorities out of whack, because he says your priorities must be God first, God second, and God third, until your life is continually face to face with God. You know, we mistakenly think we have so much time. I'm going to get there. I'm going to do that. She's right. She's right. And I'm about to do it tomorrow. I love this poem. It's called "Dust If You Must." Dust if you must, but wouldn't it be better to paint a picture or write a letter, bake a cake or plant a seed, ponder the difference between want and need. Dust if you must, but there's not much time, with rivers to swim and mountains to climb, music to hear and books to read, friends to cherish, and life to lead. Dust if you must, but the world's out there, with the sun in your eyes and the wind in your hair, a flutter of snow, a shower of rain, this day will not come around again. Dust if you must, but bear in mind, old age will come, and it's not kind. And when you go, and go you must, you yourself will make more dust. So what are you focused on? Are you being kingdom-minded? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? You know, the Bible says that our life is just a vapor. We feel like we have so much time, but we really don't. We have an assignment, and that's why the fourth point is that we have to reign, R-E-I-G-N. You know, Pastor Deborah was talking about when we traveled to Africa years ago, and I was very young in the Lord and very petrified. And and everything in their culture was different from our culture, from, you know, how they dressed to how they talked to how they ate. And I was getting teased by my team because I had a whole suitcase of water. And she's telling right now, water and peanut butter and crackers and jerky. And I was convinced, like, for these 16 days, however long we were there, that's what I was going to eat, because I have a very sensitive stomach, and I wasn't trying to get, I had already got my shots for malaria and yellow fever and whoever, and I knew about, you know, all these diseases, and I was just going to eat this, what I wanted to eat. And we were carrying our passports inside of our clothes because they were like, okay, you can't lose your passport. Hold it close to your chest, you know, put it on and then put your shirt on and all this. And we were going to our first conference, and I remember they were like, okay, so your passport's close to you. You got your Bible. You know, let's just stay together. And we pull up, and there's just more people than I've ever seen in my whole life in a field, just a field of people here for this conference. And I'm just overwhelmed. And when we pull up, they open the door and they pull us out and they separate us. And I'm like, oh my God. And they take Pastor Sue that way and Pastor Deborah that way and me this way. And I'm thinking, what is happening? And they're telling me something in their language that obviously I don't understand because I'm having palpitations right now. But they were just trying to, you know, there was a person assigned to each of us to carry our Bible and to carry us. So they snatched my purse, they took my Bible, and I'm just feeling very naked in a foreign land surrounded by millions of people and very, very afraid because the culture is different, okay? And I remember while we were there, we got a chance to go to the American Embassy. And even though we were in Tanzania, we were protected because we were United States citizens. And even though the food was different and I had been eating peanut butter and crackers, in the embassy when we went there, there were hamburgers and there were pizza. There were things from our country that we could eat. And I was like, yay, I'm going to survive. This is going to be okay. Amen. And, you know, we are ambassadors for Christ. In this land, not of this land. And an ambassador is just a chosen person that represents your country in another country. And they are protected. They are diplomats. They get diplomatic immunity. They're protected by their country. They can't, you know, their country is going to, they can't just be arrested by the local laws or anything because they are protected. And so are we. We've been given the Holy Spirit to live here, but we are protected. And even if we're called home, which, you know, Paul says, which is better, that I preach here or that I go home, we're protected on this earth if we know where our help comes from. You know, when my kids went to college, they one went to Texas, one went to Oklahoma and Florida. And anytime they needed something like money or got into trouble, they knew to call home. Mama, I need money. I ran out. I'm like, I told you to budget. What are you doing? Da, 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 da. I need money. You know, I had no food. I had to buy this for this party and look cute and whatever. And they're calling home. And we are protected, but we have to know who to call. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help comes from Holy Ghost power that lives in us. And that Holy Ghost will teach us, give us discernment, help us to pray, and remind us that we're not alone. So we have to live our lives in such a way to show that Christ is our King in everything. Citizens of heaven for the short vapor of time that we're here. You know, this month I've attended one too many funerals. High-ranking ambassadors of Christ who were called home to be with their King. Soldiers in the army of the Lord who fought the good fight and now have peace, no more pain, and can rest in the arms of Jesus. And he's saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And we need to come to a realization that we are just passing through with a job to do. And one day God's going to call us home, and what's he going to say to us? You know, we are chosen, we're royalty, here to bring God's kingdom to earth and to reign. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned through that one, reign through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Who's received the grace, abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness? That's us. And we're supposed to reign through the one, Jesus Christ. And we have to reign over sin. The Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. And we have to reign over depression. You are an ambassador sent to do a job, and you have been given the mind of Christ to do it. And we have to reign over disease. Mark 16 says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. And we have to reign over Satan. Luke 10 says, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you might think, I don't know how to reign. I don't know how to live like royalty. I was raised in San Bernardino, but Jesus is our example. It says in Philippians 2, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So we have to ask ourselves, are we giving our all? Are we emptying ourselves? Are we taking the form of servanthood, representing our King, bringing his kingdom from heaven to earth? We have to get kingdom-minded, understand this isn't home, prioritize, and reign. You get something from the Word?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.